Welcome to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We are located in Winterville, right outside of Athens, Georgia, and are led by our senior pastor, Ed Walden. Our mission is to be a Book of Acts church in this modern world, to build a strong and unified church family, and to see lives saved and changed by the power of Jesus Christ. We hope that in listening today, you will be strengthened, encouraged, blessed, and restored.
Jeremiah 6 and 16. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways, and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. Today, as you've seen on the screen already, I want to talk to you on this thought, return. I want to just talk to the church for a while. I want to talk to us as saints of God with what the Lord's laid on my heart this year. Return. Let's pray together. Lord, we love you and thank you today for your presence. What a mighty, mighty presence today and so precious. You're so mindful and faithful to your people. We just love you today. And Lord, we believe in the power of your word. We believe in faith in your name. Lord, we know what happens when your presence comes in. Today, God, we just thank you for all of that. Lord, help us to hear today what the Spirit would say to us as the church. Lord, help me today to deliver what you would have for your people today. God, I'll be always mindful to give you glory and honor, for it only comes from you. We ask these things today in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Would you clap your hands to the Lord? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. This past year, I had some questions that got me to thinking about the church as a whole and our church specifically. But I asked someone in one of these conversations we were talking, and I made an observation, and I said, when did simply coming to church stop being enough? We were in the middle of some planning, and we were busy with some event that was coming up, and I think we were more stressed than we were excited about the event. And I said, you know, and I'm not saying this for the church to get lazy and stop doing, but when did simply coming to church to worship God, to hear his preached word, to pray at an altar, to see souls and lives changed, when did that stop being enough for people to say, I need to go? It's created a competitive market today in the church world. Everybody's advertising to draw people in, but I miss the drawing of the Spirit. Yeah. Well, I'm not against doing fun things and having stuff. I'm not against. I like conferences. I like a revival. I love these things. But when did we stop being excited about Sunday morning? When did we stop being excited about Wednesday night Bible study, and when did we start thinking that church without all the man-made fanfare can be effective? I know that's a stout swig. That's like a drink of black coffee. It's stout, but I'm telling you something today that God has dropped in my spirit. But last year that we were examining these things, and I thought, you know, are we raising up a generation of kids who are going to think that church is only about the fun stuff? A lot of us grew up, and I didn't grow up in the church, but a lot of people here did, and I know my wife did, and other ones that grew up and remember seeing things like healings and deliverance. I'm talking about instantaneous healings and deliverance in services, spirits being cast out, and prophecies, and and gifts of the Spirit in operation and lives. I'm talking about people walking in the door first time ever and God transforming their life. They come to the altar. They receive the Holy Ghost, baptized that night, and their life is changed forever. And God puts callings and these things on their life. And these things were happening when church was just about God, when it was just about coming to the house of the Lord. David said, I have loved the habitation of your house. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord. One thing I have desired of the Lord, and that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Friend, when did coming to church stop being enough? Well, this is stuff the watchman on the wall gets to preach. When did worshiping God, praying, preaching, altar calls stop being the reason we came? And when did it start just being a byproduct of some program? We've gotten the cart in front of the horse, so to say. He's first. We're only complete in Him. He is searching and seeking for those that will worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I know that we can have great responses in these programs and services, and we do. And it helps people to feel a connection. But what if that went away? While I was standing in the altar, while they were singing this last song, it's like the Lord spoke to me about our elders. And it's like the Spirit told me, He said, they endured the discomfort of brush arbors and these meetings in fields and meetings under tents and hot weather and no air conditioning. And they endured breaking the ice on rivers. And they endured, they came through world wars and depressions, and yet they remained faithful to the house of God. In today's church, we have to endure air conditioning. We have to endure padded seats. Yeah, I know. I got hit in the eye already this year, so I'm just, but I'm not taking it out on y'all. What I'm telling you is that we can have this name, we can have this service, and we can do all that, and He'll even be here, and we won't see any evidence of it if we don't start letting God move. He will never force His way in. But He said, here's the way I come in. When there's two or three gathered together in My name, I am there in the midst. I inhabit the praises of My people. And so we enter into His gates with thanksgiving. We enter into His courts with praise, because I don't want to just be in His presence and there not be a presentation of the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm preaching to the church today that it's time for us to return to some things that made us who we are. I want to go back to the blueprint where Jesus said, upon this rock, I will build My church. I want the church to be what I know it can be. I don't want to just read about what it was. I don't want to just tell stories about what I saw, but I want it to be what it is, and I want to tell people about what I'm seeing. I want to be right here, present, right now. I want the power of the Holy Ghost moving. I want lives being changed. I want people excited about living for God. I want a passion to light up in the saints of the Most High God. And I want us not to be afraid to pray and lift our voice and worship God, talk in tongues, baptize them in Jesus' name, pray for divine healing. Oh, yeah. I want us not to get discouraged at words like fasting and holiness and righteousness. I don't want us to start worrying about what the world thinks about what we're doing for the Lord. The world's going to do what it's going to do. God gave us a glimpse at his word. He said, in the end time, evil men and seducers will wax worse. Perilous times will come. We know that's happening. Many will lose their love for God. The love of many will wax cold. He talks about a great falling away. I see all the negative things, and we could just sit and think, well, the world's going to just go to hell in a handbasket. We're going to sit back and watch. Or the church can be the church. God designed us to endure. He said it'd be like it was in the days of Noah. Noah's ark endured. It endured, yeah? God built the church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. The church is still a light. The church is still a voice. The church still has power. The church still has authority today. Just because it's an old path don't mean it's outdated. And just because it's an old path doesn't mean it's out of touch. I've said this here recently, but it's an old path, but it's not old in as you can number it in years. It was laid before the foundation of the world. It's God's ways, and God's ways are eternal. They're not old-fashioned. They're not out of touch. It's not old-timey. It's not antique. That word's forever settled. It's eternal. It's as powerful as it ever has been since it entered the mind of God. It's still got the same power and force that it had when it came up in God's mind. It's still that. That's why, if not, then how could the blood of the Lamb that was slain before the foundation of the world, how could that blood still be working? But the blood never loses its power. I'm telling you, church got to start. We got to return to some things. One of the other questions was, and Pastor, why don't we see what our elders saw? And that's a tough spot. It puts a pastor in a tough spot because you want to say, but we could still be seeing it. But you don't want people to feel like you're saying we're lazy or we're slacking. Don't nobody except Jesus love this church more than I do. That's the truth. Nobody loves this church more than me except Jesus. I promise you. I love you. I love our church, and I'm not scolding us. I'm not beating up on us. I am trying to instruct us and lead us and guide us and tell us what I see. Because I know that it is possible for us to, in our walkings, in our wanderings, that we can begin to go astray on some things. Listen, just because we've got to remember, just because we can remember who God is and what God can do, doesn't mean we're doing what we ought to be doing. But we fool ourselves, the scripture says, because we are hearers of the word and not doers. We deceive ourselves. I don't want to hear that God is a healer and that the prayer of faith can save the sick and then never pray for the sick. I don't want to say the word tells me that we can lay hands and cast out devils through his name, but then we never do that. I don't want to believe that there's 9 gifts of the Spirit, but I never see them in operation. We've got to return. There were words that began to pop up in my mind through the end of the year of 25, and one was landmarks. Proverbs 22 and 28 tells us not to remove the ancient landmark which your fathers have set. Don't move them. You can't skip that verse. That's boundaries. There's the Word of God. By faith we believe the Word of God framed the worlds. It frames us. It gives us boundaries. And there's landmarks that tell us you don't go past this. You don't go outside of this. It's not a prison. It's not something to shut us in and isolate us. but it's to keep us on the right path, on the old paths. Where is the good way? The old, I don't want to go back. We're not talking about going backwards. Returning is not going backwards. Returning is getting back to the things that we need. We're not taking a step back and losing ground. We're going to pick up what's going to move us. We're going back to get the things that's going to launch this church in these last days. That's why this church will be set up like a light, like a city on a hill, because we're sticking to the Word of God. There's plenty of buildings full of people today that are advertising what they've got. But let me tell you, friend, when the church starts praying and fasting and seeking God and lining up to the Word of God, let me tell you, the Spirit of the Lord, you won't have to put a billboard up and you won't have to have a commercial. Friend, the Spirit of the Lord will start drawing people in to the house of God. Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said, I am the Lord and I change not. And let me tell you, He's still able to do it today. I know we live in a sci-fi world. It ain't just in movies anymore. It's like real life now. With AI and all this stuff, science fiction is becoming everyday real life. You don't know what's real and what's not. But I tell you this, you can't AI the Bible. You can't, they can do whatever they want to. They'll never duplicate God. They will never be able to stop. They're never going to be able to stop who God is and what God does. They'll never be able to stop it. It is easy. This chat, GTP or whatever that's called, some STP. And I know it ain't Mustang GT. But this chat thing, people are searching on that and taking that as an authoritative word and then giving themselves to that, saying, well, I looked it up and it said this. And then they just follow that. But this is the original. You have to give me a little golf clap so you can hear me. He said, we live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Every word that comes out of His mouth, that's how the church lives. We don't live by Google. We don't live by chat. We don't live by AI. We live by every word that proceedeth. I want us to know, there we are. I want us to know that when we come into the house of God, that we come with an expectation, that we come ready, that we've made ourselves ready, that we didn't just wait to show up, but all week long, I've been praying, I've been fasting, and I can't wait to get together with the saints of God so I can see the glory of God. I can't wait to tell somebody what they can have with Jesus. I can't wait to tell somebody about being baptized in Jesus' name and being filled the Holy Ghost. Friend, I want to come in this service and think, who's going to get healed today? Who's going to get changed today? Whose life is going to be made better forever today? I'm not against refreshments, coffee, donuts. Ain't against none of that. But if you're day gets ruined because they didn't have your favorite donut or the coffee shop wasn't open. Come on, somebody. We've gotten used to a lot of things, gotten maybe even a little spoiled by a lot of things, and we've done a lot of things because we've seen bigger places do those things. It's all right. It's what we do. We're trying to. We want to be an appealing church. We want to be relevant in our city. But I'm telling you today that there is nothing that will make us more relevant than having a demonstration of the power of God in our midst. Something that matters is a church that is full of the Spirit. Something that matters is a church that preaches the Word of God. Something that is that matters today in our cities, in our lives, for our families. Let me tell you, it's a church that preaches the whole Word of God. And it's time to return to some things. It's time that we begin to let God be God and do what He does. There is a story in the Scripture that reminds me so much. It parallels, I think, greatly. It's a very familiar story. You'll know it as soon as I start it in Luke chapter 10, in verse 38. Now it came to pass as they went that Jesus entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house. Jesus was there. She brought him in to her house. Let me tell you, Jesus will come when he's invited. When we open the door, he comes in. When we make that accommodation, he's going to be there. Well, there's two or more in his midst. He's there. He said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. He's omnipresent. He's everywhere. But he's going to be here. But while he was there, she had a sister named Mary. She went and sat down at his feet and heard his word. But Martha, the woman that invited him in, it was her house. Come in. Martha, she was cumbered about much serving. And she came to him and said, Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me. And Jesus answered and said unto her, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things. But one thing, everybody say one thing. When he is in the house, there is one thing that is needful. He said, there is one thing. He said, I'm here. All these other people are here. You're doing this and that. But there's only one thing needful today. And Mary has chosen that good. Old paths wear the good way. Mary has chosen that good part. And that will not be taken away from her. You'll get something in the house of God that can't be taken away. We used to sing, the world didn't give it and the world can't take it away. The devil didn't give it, the devil can't take it away. Let me tell you, when we come into the presence of God and we get in touch with that one needful thing, you'll get something in the house of God. It'll change you forever and nothing can take it away from you. You'll get a joy and a peace and a zeal and a happiness. You'll get some faith. You'll get some holiness. You'll get some righteousness. Honey, you'll get some revelation that nothing can take it away from you. But this story is so relevant to the church. We cannot substitute fervor for faith. We can't say a bunch of commotion means we had a great service. A bunch of commotion means we had great church. I don't know how many people was in that house. I don't know if it was just him and his disciples. I don't know how many. I don't know if it was packed like it was when they had to tear the roof off. I have no idea what it was like. But he said, cumbered about, or she was distracted. You invited him here. And when we come here, why did we come here? We come to get in His presence. We came into His house, and we came here for Him. And I don't want to say, okay, God, here, just sit over here on the side. I'll be back in a minute. And I got to run and do this. And I got to run and do that. And I got to run over here and do this. And He's just sitting there waiting. He's watching. God is faithful. And He will show up when He is invited. But He did not come here so we could put on a show to impress Him. He came into her house and sat down and started bringing his word. And Mary said, put the cups up, put the plates up. I'm going to hear this. I need this. This is what I need. And she went and sat at his feet. But Martha's still going back and forth, back and forth. I don't want to be good at inviting Jesus in and then ignore him. Listen. Ignore him and then order him. Because I'm frustrated with what's happening in the house. Come on, somebody. I don't want to invite him in and then get running around all crazy and then get frustrated and start ordering him around. Hey, tell her to come be as miserable as I am. Did the power go off again? Got quiet again. That's what she did. Ooh, Jesus has come to my house. He's come through town. Jesus, come on in my house. She received him in her house. I got all this laid out. I'm making food stuff. Mary, where's Mary? Mary's sitting here listening to Jesus talk. And you running around. Now you're mad because he didn't come to eat. If y'all get to that, that's fine. He didn't come for drink. He didn't come for a feast. You invited him in. Why did you invite him for? So you could show him what kind of spread you can lay out? Or did you say, I asked you in because I need you. I'm coming in with thanksgiving and I'm coming in with praise. And then I'm listening to what the Spirit is saying to the church. I could not wait to get to church and hear my pastor preach. And he was a much better preacher than I am. But I tell you, I couldn't wait to sit down and hear what he had to say. It fed my soul. It lit the fire. It fanned the flames of faith. And man, we saw signs, wonders, and miracles. And I wouldn't miss him. Oh, if I could sit and listen to him preach today. Man, I tell you, I'd walk across the country to do it. Just to hear him preach one more time. Friend, I couldn't wait for it. Because it wasn't just him trying to put on a show. But it was words that kept me on the old path, that kept me in the good way. It gave me rest for my soul. So I don't want to come into this house. I don't want to be good at inviting him in and then ignore him. The old paths, friend, that's not old-fashioned. That's not old, outdated. It's where, he says, that's the good way. Jesus told a man said, good master. And he said, why do you call me good? There's one good, that's God. The old paths are God's ways. It's a God thing. The old path has not been shut down. It don't need to be refurbished. It hasn't washed away over time. It's not grown up and impassable. The old paths are still there and very walkable. The saints that went before us, they tread that path, and so do we. We have to do that. We have to return to him. In Revelation chapter 2, the church of Ephesus, the Lord said, I see you. I know your labor. I know your work. I've even seen your patience. I see all that you're doing. He saw Martha's labor. He saw her work. And he saw her lack of patience. But he sees the church, but he says, but with all this, he said, I do have one thing. I have one thing against you. This was the church at Ephesus, the saints at Ephesus, the people that served him. See, God was always in the Old Testament. You'll find it over and over again through Isaiah, Jeremiah, Malachi. Return to me. Return. He was talking to his people. Return to me. You're getting a little off? Return. You're getting that little out? Return. Get back in line. Get back where you're supposed to be. This is not a slam against the church. He's just keeping his sheep, as you were talking about this morning. He's bringing his sheep into that alignment. He wants you to stay on that old path. He wants you to stay on that good way. And so he says, you have left your first love. Your first love, before you could quote scripture, before you preached your first message, before you ever sang in a choir, before you ever taught Sunday school, before you ever did anything else, when you fell in love with him and the fire ate you up. You think about that one that you fell in love with. I think about my wife. Sue, brother. I love that woman. But when I fell in love with Jesus, I didn't even own a Bible. I didn't have a Bible. But I had been washed in the blood and filled with His Spirit. And brother, when I fell in love with Him, it consumed me. And I couldn't wait to spend time with Him. I couldn't wait to pray. Not prayer, not just talk at Him, but talk to Him. Commune with Him. Meditate on His Word and listen to what He would say to me. But now prayer has become us talking at Him. Got to be careful. I want to pray to God. I want to listen what the Spirit is saying to the church. And I want to get back. He said, He told him out there, He said, now repent from where you fell. Do the first works. He said, return. Because the first works are not outdated. The first works are not old-fashioned. They're not broken down and don't work no more. He said, go back to the first works because they work. And that is where the church needs to be today. That is where we need to return to today. We can be laboring and working and standing up. The Christian church today is good at that on social media, standing up. Standing up, man, I see all kinds of stuff. People, they post all these things and stuff like that. And then you ask them, where do you go to church? Man, I don't go to church. Man, my church is on the lake. Yeah, I know God's everywhere. But I love the habitation of thy house. There's still scripture. We need to get back. The attendance. Because the word which we live by says not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Let's don't do that. I want to return to my first love. I don't want to be busy doing things for Him. But I've actually forgotten Him. That happens in natural relationships all the time. All of a sudden a husband and wife, they're like, I don't know what happened. I work, I bring home money, I do this, do that. Yeah, but you never talk to them. You never show any affection to them. You never spend any time with them. And so you've left the love. You're doing all the work, but you left the love out of it. Come on, somebody. I don't want to leave my first love. I'm getting close to being done today. But this is for us. This is what we've got to have. The book of Hebrews. Chapter 10, just listen to me on this. Just listen to these words. Call to remembrance the former days. Just think back. Think back. Some of you that's been here all this time, remember the old building? Remember our first prayer meetings? Remember those songs? Remember when you first fell in love with those kind of things? And it'd be a handful of us, and we'd get together and pray, and people were receiving the Holy Ghost, baptizing people during prayer service. People just wanted to come and pray, worshiping in the parking lot. A group of them worshiping in my front yard one night. A group of young ladies, they just pulled up in the front yard. We heard stuff going on. They had the car doors open, the radio turned up, and they shouting and twirling around out in my front yard, worshiping God. Return. Call to remembrance the former days in which, after you were illuminated, you endured a great fight of affliction. Nothing could stop you. This came partly because you were made a gazing stock. Remember how your friends looked at you funny when you came to Jesus? Remember how they looked at you and thought you were crazy when you said you got the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues? But it happened. Partly while you became companions of them that were so used, you started hanging around with them people. For you had compassion of me in my bonds. You took joyfully the spoiling of your goods, knowing yourselves that you have in heaven a better and enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which has great recompense of reward. You have need of patience that after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, he that shall come will come. He will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith. But if any man draw back, my soul shall not have pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Where did that man go? Where did that man go? Where did he disappear? How did he get lost in the crowd, lost in the shuffle, lost in all the fervor of much serving? Where did that prayer warrior go? That person of faith, that person that would fast, that preacher of the word, where did he go? Where is he at? Where is she at? So we got to return to him. Somebody can come to the music. In Malachi 3 and 7, I don't think I even gave you this scripture, but the Lord, he told his people, he said, return to me and I will return to you. Boy. I thought he said he would never leave me or forsake me. See, that's what I'm saying. He's always here. But there's going to be a return to us for returning. Return to him. He said, return to me and I will return. What is he returning to us? He's always here. What is God returning to us? Because we can't be disobedient and have the miracles of God. We can't be slack and caught up in all these other things and see that power move like it did in those days. He said, when you return to me, I'll return to you. Oh, what will he return? What's the return on this? When I come back to him, the scripture says that I am complete in him. Return to the one who completes you. Return to me and I will return to you. Return to me what? When I return to him in prayer, again, not just talking at him, but listening. Corporate prayer, like they had in the book of Acts. Our prayer meeting used to be one of the bigger services of the week. I still want it to be the biggest service of the week. I think we ought to have 250 people in here praying. I don't care where they come from. Come pray. Invite people to prayer. Fasting. Giving. Jesus said, when you fast, when you give, that's things that he expects. When I return to him in these things, worship. The Father's looking for true worshipers. Obedience. If we are willing and obedient, we shall eat the good of the land. We need to get back to living by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Bible reading, studying, meditation. In his law does he meditate day and night. Attendance, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Involvement. We are workers together with him. Where there's two or three gathered in his name, he said, there am I in the midst. We need people to gather together. We need to put our hand to the plow and not look back. And whatever we find to do with our hand, we need to do it with our might. We need to return to him, witnessing, being a witness, letting our light so shine before men that they may see our good works and glorify our Father that's in heaven. We need to return to being the salt of the earth. Throw the bushel away. Stop covering that light up. Be the light of the world. And when we return to him, he said, I will return to you. And I'm telling you, when the church comes back to serving the Lord, you could, if you want to read in Deuteronomy, I think 28, you'll read how we'll be above only and not beneath. We'll be the head and not the tail, and all these blessings will come upon you and overtake you. And when we start being obedient to God's word, and when we return to him, he's going to return to us answered prayers, miracles, signs, wonders, gifts of miracles, gifts of faith, gifts of healing, word of knowledge, word of wisdom. These things are going to start happening. People will be seeing angels, dreams, visions. He said, I'm going to pour my spirit out on all flesh, and there's going to be dreams and visions. When's the last time somebody told you about a vision they had? When's the last time somebody in the church said, Pastor, the Lord just showed me in a vision? That used to happen on Wednesday night at church. People would be worshiping and praying, and all of a sudden the Lord would show our pastor a vision, and he would, if it was for the church, he'd tell the church. If it was for an individual, he'd call them up and tell them what God just showed them, and it would come to pass, and it would be the truth. It's what God was doing. When we return to him, God's going to return some things to the church. Because I don't think he can church an entertainment-driven church with the gifts of God. We'll use them for our own promotion. But when we return to him, he's going to return to us the things that the church ought to have. I know, stand with me this morning. As we see the time drawing closer to his return, Peter asked a question of the church. He said, what manner of persons ought we to be? Well, we can't be who we ought to be by being farther away from him. Return to him, and he will return to us. Healings, deliverance, spiritual gifts, provision, miracles, revelations, understanding, comfort, peace, confidence, defend us, provide for anything. Who wants that good way? That old path, that good way. He said, in that, you know what Martha was missing, what Mary had? Mary had rest. He said, I've given her something that won't be taken away. She's found that good thing, and it won't be taken away. He said, in the good way, you'll find rest for your soul. If serving God is wearing you out, I know it's taxing physically, emotionally, spiritually, but if you're constantly just wore out, you're not doing it right. Because there ought to be a refreshing. And the scripture says that in his presence is fullness of joy. There's times of refreshing that come from the presence of the Lord. When we get him back involved, when we return to those things, people won't quit because they're wore out. They won't quit because so many things have happened this week. They'll just take it in stride because they're going to come get a refreshing from the presence of the Lord. And God's going to keep them. God's going to take care of them. And they've got faith that God's watching out for them. It's the good way. Put this last scripture up, Matthew 11:28-29. Jesus said, come unto me. If you've left him, it's time to return. Come unto me, all ye that labor. That's Martha. And that's the church at Ephesus. I've seen your labor, seen your work. All you that are heavy laden, he said, I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And you shall find rest unto your soul. Isn't that what Jeremiah said? And you shall find rest for your soul. And you shall find rest for your soul. The Lord was telling his people in Jeremiah, stand in the way, seek, ask for old paths. That's a good way, and walk in it, and you'll find rest for your souls. It's in him. We are complete in Him. There's not two ways to find rest. It's all in Him. It always has been. It's in Him.
Thank you for listening to the Restoration Apostolic Church podcast. We pray that you have been encouraged and changed by what you heard today. To keep up with RAC, you can follow us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also visit our website at restorationapostolic.org. Be blessed in Jesus' name.